Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
And welcome to 96.5 The Fan, Character Concerns NFL Draft Special, as we have finally got to NFL Draft Week. Jay Binkley with my partner in crime, Chris Innocero, Jacob Mustard, producing the operation. Chris, good evening.
How's it going, man?
We're here, man. We're here.
It's time.
We're here. It's time.
It is, what are we, 3 days away from round one of the 2025 NFL Draft. This show is brought to you by Salvation's Army. Salvation Army's down for the challenge. Register today to rappel down GEHA Field.
That's right.
At Arrowhead Stadium on May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com.
Matt McMullen's going to be hosting the luncheon, I suppose.
The breakfast.
The breakfast, yeah.
Yeah.
Although there might be some breakfast coming up, you know what I'm saying?
That's why I wouldn't do it. I already tell you this right now, that breakfast is going to come right up if I try to do it.
Hey, we finally made it, man. We're going to be doing a lot of draft coverage this week. This is one of those, when Sunday night hit, it's like, all right, it's on. It's
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
It's on like Donkey Kong. We got a draft special Monday night. We get draft coverage Thursday night for, I don't know how long it's 6 o'clock.
Probably till midnight-ish.
Whenever.
It's usually when it. Usually when we're done, it's about midnight-ish.
Last year's fun at the landing. Good stuff. Great beer. Great food. Everything. But the Chiefs made a move with the Bills to get Xavier Worthy into the night. People are feeling it themselves. They were having a few beers, I think, at the landing. It was a good time. It was a great time. Great atmosphere for the draft. Then you and I will be back the whole weekend. Saturday for like 6 hours. Sunday for 3 hours. Monday for 3 hours. The draft is here. It's what everybody's talking about. Everybody's thinking about it. It's the NFL draft. And in a lot of Major League Baseball cities, after 2-8 road trips, it's draft season.
Yeah, there's certainly some
and
people.
I mean this one.
And I don't want to, like, bury the Royals or anything. I think they'll get it together.
But you know what? Take this week. This week's about the Chiefs.
It's been a little bit tough here the last couple weeks. So, yeah, we got the draft coverage here for you. We're going to make sure that you have the most knowledge you can have about your Kansas City Chiefs draft plans going into Thursday and through the weekend as well. So keep it locked in here on 96.5 The Fan.
And be sure to go down and download our podcast, Character Concerns Podcast. We do it all year. It's not just, you know, during draft season. We don't know. We did it the whole year
long. All throughout the fall, we're going to tell you which prospects to be watching
like
throughout the fall.
Cousin Eddie would have said, we do it all. It's the gift that keeps on giving all year long. And we've been doing this since the draft was in Kansas City. And we just kept this thing going through Detroit, through Green Bay, you name it. We follow the draft prospects throughout the season. This is kind of the culmination of all that work we put into, which matchups they got going forward, which receivers, which corners you're going against, corners, which receivers you're going against, defensive line matchups, the works. I didn't spend a ton of time, obviously, on quarterbacks, basically looking kind of where the Kansas City Chiefs draft needs might be, which they're all over the board, and we'll get into a lot of that. We got a lot of stuff tonight, though. Chet Ryder It's spelled Reuter, if you ever see them, R-E-U-T-E-R, from NFL.com. It's one of their best mockers. Ian Rapoport even tweeted out today, you know it's draft season when he puts out a seventh-round mock, Chad Ryder. Well, he put out a seventh-round mock, and we got Chad Ryder live from NFL Network.
A seven-round, not a seventh-round.
Seven-round draft. Yeah. Seven-round. Not a seventh-round mock.
You know what?
That would take some moxie if you're just doing a seventh-round.
That would not actually be cool if you were just doing a seventh-rounder.
Well, we got our seventh-round picks, including Mr. Relevant. We did not trade that away. We kept it. By the way, as Adam Schefter pointed out, this is the furthest we've the closest to the draft we've been. I've been monitoring this thing for weeks without a trade. Joe Montana, the last trade, the closest trade to the actual NFL draft when Joe Montana came to Kansas City. Hadn't been any trades so far. NFL top 100s are all out. Mock drafts. Everybody's got one. We'll go over a few of the key ones that we really like. Chad Ryder joins us live, as we said, NFL.com. Tradition. He comes on the show every year. We love hearing from Chad Ryder and the work that he puts in. Price Carter from Arrowhead Attic stopping by as well. Kind of give you the feeling of what Chiefs fans are thinking through this draft process. But if you haven't made plans for Thursday night, the landing in Liberty, it's a great spot for the draft. I can't think of a better place to have this thing with great food, great beer, just a great atmosphere to host a draft. And why the draft contest too? When you get there early, fill out your draft sheet, make sure you're done before the pick is in. Before Cam Ward's taken by the Titans, you want to have this sheet in. 1 point for players drafted in the first round, 3 points if you get right on the team. We'll give you three free spaces because I think three of them are dead locks at this point. And one's arguable, but I think it's Cam Ward and then Travis Hunter, followed by
I think at this point, the top four, I think, look like they're pretty solid.
Well, pretty Ricky's out here saying, Will Campbell to the Patriots. We thought that was
four,
pretty obvious.
Yeah, so it's looking like it's pretty solid as far as the first four picks, unless something crazy happens.
The whole fan staff will be in attendance. Yes. You can eat, Bob's even on the menu, the Bob's pretzels, the Bob's Bavarian pretzels. So Fesco, I'm very jealous of that because Uncle D, I had some onion rings at Uncle D's. Of course, there's no longer in fruition, but Bob's got Bavarian pretzels. So I may have those. And we're going to do a mock draft of the food items at the Liberty Landing, as I've been joining them at 6:45 each and every morning. But turning the picks, Spec grades these things. He takes it very seriously. Matter of fact, the next day, his door shut. He's looking at this Juwan Taylor autographed helmet up for grabs in this as well down at the Liberty Landing. And of course, the Royals' schedule is perfect for this because they play in the afternoon, and so it gives us a full draft that night. Friday night's a little different story because the Royals are obviously playing right Friday night. But then Saturday we get you covered because they're not playing until night. So we get the whole final day of the NFL draft for you live. We're going from 9 a.m. to like 5 p.m. And then it's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah,
so like we're you know, right like 6 hour show.
It's a very long show.
And instead of wrapping up, we like to have the coaches of these draft picks on. It's something we've been doing throughout the year. Sonny Dykes had him last year to talk about some Wiley. Doesn't matter. You pick in the seventh round, the fourth round. It doesn't matter. We're going to try to get your coach on. So we'll be doing that this weekend. Chris and I have been hard at work at the character concerns. We did the full NFL mock, which we will release that tonight as well. It's NFL mock 2.0. And just earlier, we just finished our Chiefs mock 3.0. So we'll be releasing that later as well. So Chiefs 3.0, NFL mock 2.0, as Chris and I have been mock happy. Now, mocks haven't been all over the place. We try to keep, if the players are available, because obviously our opinions don't change. They haven't done anything. Like everybody's, you know, opinions wishy-washy, this and that. Oh, you can't go this player, you can't go that player. Oh, we need to draft Ohio State tackles. No. We kept a lot of the same cats.
Yeah, we've kind of figured out which guys we think are the best fits, which guys we think are going to be the best values, where they're sitting at on the board. I mean, we did this on PFF, so it's, I mean, we kept it so it was mostly public opinion, but obviously some part of their board is part of it too. So, you know, whether or not, you know, it's that's going to be accurate is, you know, not. We obviously are not going to know that because there's going to be some portion of that is going to be based on the opinions of PFF.
And Veach won't let us in the picks. We've tried, but
he won't let us know.
He won't let us in the war room.
Yeah, we've tried to get in there. We hopefully he can hit us.
No,
up
I
with
was
some
in Dorsey's. To be honest with you, for two years I was in Dorsey's. Man, I didn't make the picks, but I was in that.
I wish I could be in there.
Oh, Johnny Manziel, man, that tape came up. That was the year that that he was selected. Anyway, the Chiefs have pick number 31 in the first round at this point. Round two, they got pick number 63, again, at the end of the second round. Round three, because of LeJarius Sneed, the Chiefs have actually the second pick in the third round. Is really nice picks because they had number 63 in the second round, number 66 in the third round. So, boom, boom, those picks come up. Number 95 in the third round as well. In the fourth round, they have pick number 133. Then some space. Unless they make a move, there's going to be some space. Space to go grab a beer, some nachos, whatever you want. But no picks in round five or six yet. But keep in mind, I don't think Veach likes sitting around much. Round seven, three picks, number 226, number 251, which was a comp pick this year. And, of course, number 257, Mr. Irrelevant. I hope they don't trade it. It's not usually a value. It's the last pick in the NFL draft. They do a big parade for an entire week out at Newport Beach, California. There's a parade, all sorts of stuff. They treat Mr. Irrelevant just right. We have kept our Mr. Irrelevant. So, spoiler alert, we like our guy.
Yeah, and we've kind of played around with making some trades and whatnot, but it's just, it's really hard because you don't, again, we don't know who's going to be available where, obviously, because I think the value that we've seen in this draft for a lot of different players is really subjective. Oh,
you're telling me GMs don't go off mocks?
Yeah, they definitely don't go off mocks.
They look at it, but they don't go off.
They look at it. It's actually funny. There was something that came out, I think, late last week that, like, there were, like, up to like 15 teams that were heavily looking at mock drafts.
I think they look at them, and there's certain people they will look at. But as I mentioned, a lot of the big names, you think, oh, they got to look at them. But they're not the most accurate. Because you look back to last year, right. It was a bunch, and they mocked the mockers, right? And number two is Peter Schrager, believe it or not. NFL Network's number two. Mel Kiper's number 16. He was all the way 16th on the list. That's still pretty good. Still in the top 20 of everybody that mocked. But still, I know he's looked at upon as the mock father, you know, which I think we all – you know, pay our respects to Mel Kiper and everything that he's done. He's usually extremely accurate, but there's other mockers that are out there accurate. But here's the bottom line. The top 30 visits, whether you think they're worth it or not, some teams don't even do them. Like the Rams don't even do them. Some teams do. I think the Chiefs use it to find out medicals. They look one more time. How you feeling? How you feeling? How's the knee? How's the
and,
foot?
And to get a little bit deeper on some of the guys that are you're looking at later in the draft. Because they're not bringing in top guys, no. Generally.
They'll get into smokescreen season two. And where the Chiefs are picking, the smokescreen don't really matter a ton. Although I said I love the second round because the board kind of resets itself. Right. And you have that whole day and it becomes almost the first round once again. Because a lot of times, just keep in mind, Brett Veach even came out and said, 12 to 13 first-round grades. Again, this draft's not strong. We thought that was going to be the case. Like Kansas City, that means anybody beyond 13 is essentially a second-round
Not
grade.
Necessarily. Not It doesn't mean anybody beyond 13 because it depends on the player. It could be some players that they have first-round grades on that fall, like Trent McDuffie. So that's the reason why it's not.
If they start to fall, that's when player.
That's what
teams
I'm saying. And
up.
That's the reason why it's not safe to assume that the top 13 guys are.
Yeah. They're not moving up for second-round grade. They're moving up for first-round grade that happens to still be falling.
Right. That's my point is like they may have 12, 13, but that doesn't mean that those guys are going to go. Some of those guys will fall. Like Trent McDuffie, we saw in 22, was a guy that fell that they had a first-round grade on, and they went up and got him. So
one thing, and we'll hear from Brett Veach as well in his press conference that he always puts out before the draft, which, again, he actually uses usually at least one nugget or two that comes out from his press conference. Right. And that you can't say that with many GMs because it's smokescreen season for many of these guys. But he loves this running back class like we do. Remember, Thor came on here. He declared it for his best class, the running back class. Yeah. Brett Veach said the same damn thing.
Of course.
So props to Thor, man.
Of course, because we've been saying that all year long, too. This is a great running back class.
I don't like it as the best, but I do like it because I don't go running back in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that's just because the value of the position. But I still like. I mean, I think you could make a case that it is the best class overall, just from the standpoint of like the sheer number of talented players that could be great players in the future in this league. You might be right. It wouldn't be my pick, but I'm not going to be mad at anyone for saying that, just because I think this is a really, really strong running back class.
And I've always been
and one
a huge
of the best ones we've seen for a while.
I think Saquon Barkley syndrome affects a lot of people's heads, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why like you might see a team reach on Ashton Jeanty or even Amarian Hampton too. Like, because you have so many guys, so many teams out there that are going to be desperate to try to do what the Eagles just did this past season. And, you know, some of these other teams like lately, like the 49ers as well with Christian McCaffrey, where, you know, they went and paid him big money before the 23 season. And, you know, he had a nice season that year. Obviously, you know, 24, he was injured, but still, he was a big boost to their offense when he came in. So,
well, we also went out and I have gotten everybody's picks. Morning show, midday show, afternoon show. Night, even Logan sent me his pick in, and Speck gave me his pick. So where the staff, where are they going with the Chiefs' 31st pick? Chris's pick, my pick, you name it. We've got it all coming up. But we'll look at our mock 3.0 since we just did it just a little bit of go. And don't forget, we got Chad Ryder coming up at 7:30. Bryce Carter comes in at 8 o'clock. A lot of talk and mock. Also, your questions and comments. Jay Southland Tow Service text line is open for you, 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line.
You had to check the number?
Well, I don't have to check the number.
You had to look at the screen to check the number.
Well, the eye's a little bit different, right? It squinted a little bit.
You should know the number by now.
I should. That's a great point.
We made the change in August.
I know we did. I've had time.
You've had plenty of time, Bink.
I've had plenty of time, but I digress. I still like to be accurate. Any rate, we'll talk to you guys in a second, Chris and I, with our mock 3.0. By the way, this is my favorite mock we've ever done. Do that next.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan. Character Concerns, NFL Draft Special, Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, Jacob Mustard producing the operation.
And this show is brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays.
That's right.
At jandmdisplays.com.
Let's shoot it, man. Let's do it. Let's blow some stuff up. By the way, the text line, he goes, Bink would pass on Barry Sanders. Brilliant. When did that come out of my mouth? I just say I'm not taking a running back. And you know what? Sitting at 31, you're not getting Barry Sanders. Then the quote was, well, you're passing on Walter Payton or you'd pass on Earl Campbell. First of all, Earl Campbell was the first pick.
This person is bringing up running backs from
that was
the 80s.
But first of all,
70s.
Earl Campbell was the first pick in the draft. Walter Payton went number 4. Again, sitting at 31, who are you going to get that's got the skill set of Barry Sanders and Earl Campbell? Because if you pass on him, so be it. But at 31, I doubt you're getting
anybody
like that.
It's not 1995.
It's not.
Like, you don't need to draft a good running back in the first round.
Hey, I've been team running back, but again, this draft is so loaded with running backs, you're making a mistake if you get one in the first round because they are a plenty throughout the draft. You got to play this thing smart, man. help what your team needs when you can still fulfill your draft needs later on in the draft. All right, we did our mock 3.0 earlier today, Chris. To be honest with you, it came down to a tough decision like we had it earlier. Like 1.0 was easy. It was Derek Harmon, boom, bam, boom. But then all of a sudden, Luther Burden was there in mock 2.0. And that was some consternation that we had. Ended up going Luther Burden on that. You and I alternate these picks as we go. It settled on me for 31. Derek Harmon was still there. Walter Nolan was already off the clock from Ole Miss. I like Harmon and Nolan a lot. I like both of them. We did go Derek Harmon with our first pick.
Yeah, I mean, look, Harmon, the debate between him and Nolan, and obviously Nolan wasn't available when we took him, but, you know, let's say that you have your options. Let's say both the guys are on the board. Whether you're able to get them at 31, do you trade up, and then you have a decision between the two. The question really becomes, you know, who do you like more? I think that Derek Harmon is the more complete player because I think he's incredibly disruptive in the run game. And I also think he is a very effective pass rusher on the interior.
Yeah, he's gotten better at his pass rusher. I mean, the 36 pressures last year. I mean, the guy's a complete player. It transferred to Oregon from Michigan State.
Right. He took a big step forward last year. And then on the other side, you got Walter Nolan, who I think has like Chris Jones-like potential as a pass rusher. I think he's a good run defender. But like I think Derek Harmon's going to be a little bit more disruptive as far as getting penetration and you know getting tackles for loss in the run game. So in that regard, like it kind of depends on what you want. Do you want the more complete player, or do you want the guy that has the elite upside as a pass rusher in a way that I don't think Harmon quite has? But this wasn't really on the table here at 31. We didn't trade up, so really Derek Harmon I think was the easy answer there.
If you want to trade up for an offensive tackle, you better get up between 10 and 15 because that you know, guy you could start on day one is not sitting there at 31.
No.
So if you want to make a Mahomes-esque move up to get that offensive lineman, be prepared not to pick much later in the draft because that's the going rate to pick move up there.
Right, and even the guys who you would take 10 to 15 may not end up even being tackles. Because like here's the thing. Like, we've been telling you that a lot on the Character Concerns podcast. The top four tackles in this – top four rated tackles in this draft class. That's Will Campbell, that's Kelvin Banks, Josh Simmons, and Armand Membu. All four of those guys, there's multiple teams right now that think they're going to have to move inside to guard. That does not mean that they will all move inside to guard, but I think at least two of those guys, Will Campbell, I'm almost willing to bet money, is going to move inside to guard.
So the Patriots are locked in him.
Yeah, so it sounds
like Membu, I think, is the best lineman in the draft. He'll play right tackle, but he does have the skill set to play left.
I think he's going to stay on the right, but...
And, he might, but you know what? The right tackle and left tackle used to be this huge difference. It's not that big of a difference anymore.
Yeah, I mean, to some teams, though, it still is a pretty big difference.
Unless you get a Mitch Schwartz and then stick him on the right tackle, and he was the most skilled tackle we had.
Yeah, but I think that at the end of the day, I think that the Chiefs, if you're going to move up, you would like a more sure thing at left tackle. And there just isn't that in this class. And I know, and I've heard a lot of people, oh man, like you got to get tackled. You got to fill that position. You know, sometimes when you go to the store and not everything on the shelf gets stocked the same way. Sometimes you need to get something from the store and they don't have it.
It's probably going to be more Mountain Dew than Coke. Yeah. Than caffeine free Diet Coke.
Yeah. And so sometimes you just can't restock certain positions because they don't have it on the shelves. And this year, left tackle just ain't that great in the first round. And I understand, you know, it's peace of mind type thing. This is going to be one of those years where they're not going to be able to get peace of mind more than likely at round one at the left tackle position, unless they really have convinced themselves that there's a certain guy that they really like. But I still have my doubts about that.
So I kind of put... three things the top of what to get. Need a defensive line / edge. Running back, wide receiver, and edge. So defensive tackle was down on the board. Moves us to the second round. You made this pick. And in the past, we have gone Joshua Farmer. The defensive tackle. We got the longest arms in the draft out of Florida State. Love this kid. Loves his potential. We usually have gone that direction. But the Chiefs went defensive line in the first round. Now, had they gone wide receiver, something else, I think it probably would have been Josh Farmer in the second round, but we go offense the second round.
Yeah, so at 63, I went with running back Dylan Sampson from Tennessee.
There's your running back text line.
Yeah, there's your running back at pick 63. Look, the Chiefs need a running back bad. They really do. It is a position that long term you need to fill. And Samson's got the skill set. Would I like him to be a little bit bigger? Yeah, but I really love the skill set that he has. He went out and he dominated the SEC this past year.
Yeah, SEC Offensive Player of the Year, was hitting 22, 23 miles an hour on his pro day. Did not run the 40 at his combine. Ran in the 4.46 to 4.9 category this pro day.
Which is good.
He actually considered himself more of a 4.3, 4.4 type guy. But for running back, it's fine. Don't forget Derrick Henry ran a 4.54 at the combine. So
yeah,
don't
Kareem Hunt was a 4.6 guy at a Toledo. So that doesn't really matter that much. But yeah, I love the skill set that he brings to the table. And this is a guy that played against premier competition. So yeah, Dylan Sampson at pick 63, round two. That's where I went.
And the best thing about him is you don't have to take him out. He is acclimated to play all three downs.
Right,
if that's
right.
Where you have to have
him. Yeah, and that's what I think you need to go for with these picks. Whoever you pick at running back, you're looking not for a guy that you put into a rotation. This is a guy that you put out there and you hope that he can be a three down guy.
And the next pick was mine, and that's where I said, okay, you still got to get wide receiver. I hated to go this far. We debated various things from linebacker to corners. Two wide receivers. I still think they need a wide receiver. I didn't want to go past this pick without getting a wide receiver. We went Kyle Williams at Washington State. He played with Cam Ward 2 years ago because Cam Ward obviously transferred to Miami. 6 foot, about 180 pounds, but a guy that's been climbing the charts. Played at UNLV beforehand, had 70 catches, almost 1,200 yards last year, but 14 touchdowns he had last year. And Kyle Williams is a guy climbing on draft boards. I'm not sure he makes this pick. I hope he does because it's early on in the third round. Could he be a second round type guy? The wide receiver class in that middle part, not the top part, but there is a gap between the first and second part. He could very well last there. Obviously, there's going to be choices at wide receiver at that point. But Kyle Williams, the guy that I think can do it all, was the pick.
He would certainly take some of the pressure off of Xavier Worthy. He's more of a downfield guy. He does have some issues. He has an issue with dropping passes, and he doesn't have the most refined route tree, but he is an explosive player with the ball in his hands, and certainly I think he could have a Mecole Hardman type impact on the offense that we saw in like 2019.
4-4 guy as well.
Yeah, or we saw in like 2019 where this is a guy that when the defense is focused on the number one speed guy, which at that time was Tyreek, but in this case is now Xavier Worthy, then you have a guy in Kyle Williams who can kind of sneak past the defense on the other side and take advantage of the extra attention the defense is giving to X. So I think he's in a great position to be a gadget type player and be a contributor in that way. So I like the pick there.
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com on the combine profiles, everybody. Comparison is Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims Jr. was his comparison. It is a guy that tracks the ball extremely well deep. He is that explosive player down the field. And he came in just a shade under 6 foot. 6 foot is where they hit him in Washington State. It was like 5'11 and three quarters. So almost 6 foot was his official combine height. But we've seen the combine measurements change at pro days. We haven't seen that with Kyle Williams, but guys miraculously grew longer arms and bigger hands like we saw Will Campbell do. In the next pick, we certainly went a different direction as well. It's somebody that you really liked. I agree with you. I think it's a project because he is FCS, so we acclimate him straight to the NFL. May take a year or so, but it's definitely a guy with a ton of talent. We had to think about this. We had to get this in straight because we didn't want to pass on Charles Grant. Charles Grant was the guy that we definitely wanted to get, Chris, in the wheelhouse.
He's a left tackle out of William and Mary. And I understand for some of y'all have been led to believe that you got to address your biggest need in the first round. Here's why I'm thinking Charles Grant at round three, pick 95. The guys that you are looking at late first round to me are guys that normally would go round two or three in a good tackle draft. Like, I don't think Josh Simmons is a first round pick in last year's draft. I think he probably goes about where Kingsley Suamataia goes. Like, I'm just not buying that this class is the same as the last few years. And I look at a guy like Charles Grant, and I think he's a perfect project. This was a guy that up until later in the season. A lot of people thought he was going to be a late first round, if not late second round pick. And there's still a lot of people that think he'll be a late second round guy. But this is a guy that he was late to the game as far as getting into playing football. Wasn't until like sophomore, junior year of high school. But he has the measurables. He's got the length, all of that. The thing is, he just needs some seasoning on playing at the highest level.
Going to the Senior Bowl helped him because he got to play against
good competition. And he looked good against that competition. Whenever William and Mary did occasionally play a power four school like a West Virginia, he looked good in those games. He has all the tools, I think, to be a starting left tackle in this league. It's just a matter of you need some time to develop him, and you have that with Jalen Moore, presumably, as your starting left tackle for at least the next year or two. And if you can get some serviceable play from him, and then you get time to develop Charles Grant, now you're looking at your future starting left tackle for years to come in Grant, and then you can kind of figure out what you're going to do with Jalen Moore after. But I think he's just got all the tools you're looking for.
A lot of zone-heavy approach with him. He's got a wingspan over 7 foot, though.
I mean, yeah, he's massive. Like, he's almost 35-inch arms. And, yeah, he's really, really good in zone run. Really, really good in zone run. Really athletic. The Chiefs love zone run. He's a perfect guy for it.
So the rest of the mock we'll get to after the break. Take a timeout, but that was the first round. We have Derek Harmon in the first and Dylan Sampson, so off defensive line, then running back, then Kyle Williams, wide receiver, and then Charles Grant, offensive tackle. Now, the rest of the mock when we get back.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley with Chris Unoserum.
This show is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
Well, we've done Derek Harmon, our first pick, a defensive tackle, and then go Dylan Sampson, the running back, in the next round. There's some decisions to be made. Do we need to go this early or not to get running back? Well, we did. Kyle Williams, the wide receiver out of Washington State. We had with the next pick, Charles Grant, the offensive tackle out of William & Mary, goes with our next pick. In the fourth round, I went a guy that actually came to Kansas City in a top 30 visit. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. It is about getting information about certain players. They have drafted top 30 guys they brought in. They drafted Kingsley Suamattia the year before. Carson Steele came in here for a top 30 visit. Didn't draft him. Didn't have to because they got him as an undrafted free agent. Year before, Rashee Rice came in for a top 30 visit, and so did B.J. Thompson. They ended up drafting both those guys. Felton's a guy that's extremely fast, 4.37, taller, more of a slender build, put up big-time production. You talk about home run threats, you got him in Kyle Williams and Ty Felton.
So I this is a comparison I know that might make some fans cringe a little bit, but he does remind me of MVS. Now, I think that he's got some more potential. MVS is a guy I always thought could be better than what he was. He just didn't turn out to be better than what he was. But I look at Ty Felton, and I think he could be what MVS could have been in his career. I really like Ty Felton. He's got the athleticism. He's got the size. He's not weight-wise, he probably needs to add a little weight. But, I mean, he's 6'3", and you run 4.37, 40 speed. Like, you're talking about a guy that can get down the field in a hurry. Certainly deep game, but also he could be a threat underneath. As even if he's just a gadget guy, I still think he could be valuable there. But I think Felton, what you're drafting with him is a guy that has some potential to be very, very good down the line. Maybe a year or two in, he finally develops and he becomes one of your top receivers.
And the one thing I like about Felton is he's one of those guys that, again, he's a football player. I like, that shows up, doesn't complain, does his job. And he's willing to play special teams as well. Actually made special teams tackles with Maryland the last couple of years. He makes people miss, gets downfield, tracks the ball well. I like Felton. I like, not only that, he's good in the red zone. 8 of the 9 touchdowns in 2024 came within the red zone for Felton, but that's the direction. So, again, it's two wide receivers. We can debate whether you think the Chiefs need two wide receivers or not. But in this mock, we happen to go two wide receivers.
And it was just good value getting Felton in round four.
It was almost Danny Stutzman. Most of the mocks that we did, he's not available where he made the pick. Of course, linebacker out of Oklahoma, that was a tough choice between he and Felton. Stutzman wasn't there in the majority of ones we did. Felton was. Went ahead, it's more logical that Felton would be there instead of Stutzman. So that's the direction we went. Now it's the pause time all the way to the seventh round.
So the Chiefs may end up moving some of these picks to move up into like round 6 or 5, use some future picks. Let's not go out there. Like I'd say this, if I had to put money on it, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs, like I'd probably put a little cash on the Chiefs trading up back into like a round 6 or 5 if they really like somebody. Because otherwise you're just waiting all the way from noon something until like 4 o'clock to make a pick. And so I kind of feel like they might, and also like there might be a guy that they really covet that they don't think is going to be there at the back end of the seventh. So let's make sure we put that out there. Very good chance they move some of these picks.
And again, the seventh round, a lot of teams look at it, all right, let's throw a dart at these guys and we have the rights to them. They have to come here. It's not about, fighting in undrafted free agency land, because then you're worried about the teams that are good. Like, they want to come play for Mahomes. So they want to come to Kansas City and play. The Seahawks do a great job with undrafted free agents, putting up brochures, why you need to come play for the Seattle Seahawks. John Schneider does a great job out there with them. But some teams seem as dart throws. The Chiefs haven't looked at it that way. The last couple of years, guys that can play. Certainly, they win a Super Bowl 57 with three of those guys, and Nazi Johnson, and with Jalen Watson and Isaiah Pacheco, all in the seventh round 2 years ago.
Yeah, and there's always going to be value in, like, they draft athletes in the seventh round. Like, generally, a lot of the guys that they take there, those guys are really good athletes. So, at our first seventh round pick, pick 226, I took Aronde Gadsden the second, the tight end out of Syracuse. That's the son, obviously, of Aronde Gadsden, who played with teams like, he played with the Dolphins. Did he play for the Jets too? Yeah, I remember watching him with the Dolphins.
Yeah. Aronde Gadsden.
Yeah. So you're talking to Aronde Gadsden. This is a guy that was a former wide receiver, transitioned to tight end because he was pretty tall. But you like the athleticism in him. And this is a guy that, like, I'm not sure that he is going to be long-term develop into a star type tight end.
His dad played for the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Cowboys again, in the Dolphins. Mixed in with some minor league football.
But you're talking about a guy that good athlete, You know, he was one of the top weapons for Kyle McCord at Syracuse. And you just kind of look at it and it's just like that kind of athleticism in a seventh round tight end. This guy's not going to line up in line. He's going to line up more wide in that slot position or whatnot, more of an H tight end. But
seven touchdowns for game. Here's one thing about it. He didn't drop the ball.
No, he does not. Like, and this is a guy like you do worry about him playing more in line and having to face a lot of press coverage. He didn't have to do a whole lot of that at Syracuse, but I think he's a guy that you can put in and get some development as a rotational tight end if you feel like he's one of your best tight ends you could have.
Don't look to put him in line to block. Look for him to receiver out of the backfield. 6'5", though. 6'5", 245 pounds. So he's not a small guy. 134-inch arms, though. It's a little bit surprising for a guy of that size, but extremely productive in what he did. So that's in the seventh round there. I went Dalton Cooper. I wanted to shore up this offensive line again. A guy you're going to take some time. It is a guy that came and visited the Chiefs, Dalton Cooper. He was a tackle at Oklahoma State. He started 36 games at Texas State, then transferred to Oklahoma State. Again, I don't think it's going to be a guy you're going to be starting on day one. Sometimes that happens. You know what? I think the Chiefs are extremely good at getting linemen later in the draft. I mean, you can think about Andy Heck, Andy Reid. You're getting these guys' opinions on the offensive line. Let's not forget, the best offensive line in the NFC East, the Washington Commanders. Two of those guys were former Chiefs. Widely, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Chiefs as their guard, their tackle. And he wasn't even drafted at all, was Andrew Wiley, but it was Allegretti, with the three rings, and Allegretti starts at left guard for him. But he was a seventh-round pick by the Chiefs. Then, of course, Andrew Wiley. He wasn't drafted by the Chiefs, but he played for the Chiefs. So two of them were late-round, seventh-round, or beyond guys that they got. So I like Dalton Cooper in this situation.
Yeah, he's a guy who's versatile. He's played on either side of the line. So you've got some experience there with him. And that's definitely, I think, going to be some value there because you could potentially have a swing tackle option there with Dalton Cooper. So, I do like this one. Take a shot on a guy that you think's got some talent that could play on either side. I like it.
That leads us to Mr. Irrelevant. But in our eyes, he's relevant.
I mean, I'll say this. We've been picking him pretty much every time we've done it.
Every time.
Every time.
He's been our Mr. Relevant the whole way through. There's no wishy-washy on Nazir Stackhouse.
Yep, Nazir Stackhouse, the defensive tackle out of Georgia. I've been saying this for a while. Like, I think the Chiefs need a young Mike Pinnell, Derek Nnadi type, nose tackle, run stopper. This is a guy who played almost equally between nose tackle and three tech. So, you know, he's been very effective at getting double teamed and you know, handling his weight out there. He's really, really massive. This is a guy I think you need one of those guys early on downs. Put him in there, have him play the nose, and you just dominate up front in the run game. Because the run game is really, really important right now for teams to get their offenses established. And if you can make sure that a team can't run up the middle on you because you got a beast like Nazir Stackhouse sitting in the middle of the D-line like that, it's going to be a big problem for opposing teams trying to establish the run on you.
The one knock is, and why he slid all the way he does, you may need to wake him up. He's got narcolepsy, right?
He's got narcolepsy.
He's been known to fall asleep on the sideline. Not during the game. Well, actually during the game, but on the sideline.
Not on the field.
The
he does. He has fallen asleep multiple times on the sideline.
Which I think makes it cool.
It is what it is. But I'm going to tell you this right now.
Wake him up.
You watch him on film. Like, this dude, he gets after it in the run game. And I just think there's a lot of value in it. And again, it's a seventh round pick. It's not like you're going out here.
This is
going
to be a parade in Newport Beach for Mr. Relevant. If you're in Nebraska Furniture Mart, your Crowley Furniture, any of these places, Nazir's your guy for sleep number bits.
If you can get this guy at 257, you're talking about great value. This is a guy that some people think fifth or sixth round. But we got him in the seventh. There's tons of value there for him.
Yeah, I think Dane Brugler and his beast had him higher up than where we have him, Mr. Relevant.
Yeah, like I said, I really.
But he's
really
always there for some reason. People are sleeping on him.
Yeah, people. And even like every
I don't think teams will be
every
quote,
place
sleeping
you can,
on him.
Every place you can get a mock, you do mocks on, he's always available at 257. So
we'll see.
Teams
are sleeping on him.
I'll say this. If they can get him. I will be so excited.
Chances he's asleep when they make the pick.
Stop making them sleep jokes. It's
terrible. True, man.
It's
I have a true.
These are horrifically bad puns. I hate puns. But yeah, if Nazir Stackhouse is there at 257, we're talking about a great, great situation.
Hey, man, I'm with that. But that gives us two defensive linemen. We address the wide receivers. Explain why I think wide receivers are important when we come up. But Where are the rest of the guys going with the first round picks? The Chiefs have everybody from the station and their picks going forward, plus Brett Veach talks. We'll get to all that this stuff next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley with Chris Unocero. Don't forget, Thursday night, be at the Landing in Liberty like we were last year. It's a ton of fun. Make sure to come out there. Great prizes. You can do the draft contest as well. Meet other Chiefs fans. It's just meet other NFL fans. It's just a great time. The NFL draft is made for bars in the first round, man. It's just one of those spectator-esque sports because you don't have to be totally locked into what's going on. So it makes it a perfect spectator bar event.
Yeah, no, it's always awesome being out there. I've always enjoyed the last couple draft parties that we've done where we were live on the air. And yeah, it's always a great environment, especially when the Chiefs are on the clock. Like, that's always really interesting to see.
Hey, maybe a few beers into it
a little bit.
Last year, there may be a few beers into it by the time we had the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, people were pretty deep by the time the Chiefs traded up. They were. Oh yes. And then yeah, when the news came across that the Chiefs had traded up, everybody
like you and I really was drinking pop.
Yeah, that's literally it. People were going in.
Yeah, it was a good time. But anyway, the station picks for pick number 31. Where were they thinking? I mean, this is, you know, you kind of know what we're thinking, obviously, with Derek Harmon in our latest mock. Although, Chris, if given the choice between Walter Nolan and Derek Harmon, he'd go Walter Nolan. That was his pick. I went Derek Harmon. But here's the one thing. Veach is an SEC guy. He cut his teeth in the SEC. Do I think he would lean more Nolan than Harmon? If given the choice, to be honest with you, if both are available, I think you would go Nolan because of the SEC connection. He was an SEC scout with the Philadelphia Eagles, but I think he's going to be gone. But Derek Carmen's who I went with.
My pick is under the assumption that they're going to trade up and get him because I kind of feel like there's some truth to the rumors that the Chiefs are looking to trade up. And I think it would make a lot of sense for them to go and get someone like Walter Nolan if he were there.
And we'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll look at the kind of latest, you know, the scuttlebutt that the Chiefs are looking to move up in the draft. They tried to trade back before, but you got to take the Chiefs' calls. And then you look at it and say, well, the Buffalo Bills continue to take the Chiefs' calls. This is true. And I can't explain that. Like, I literally can't explain. It's like that girlfriend that won't take your calls. Buffalo will, man. They don't care what you did to her. She's going to take your call, man. Despite that.
I don't know what.
Constant bad dates. She takes your phone call every time, man.
The funny part about this is like, there's a lot of people that are mocking AFC teams to trade with the Chiefs in the first round.
Well, Buffalo is right before the Chiefs. And keep in mind, they need basically what the Chiefs need. And that's been the problem. Instead of the Chargers, because both the Chargers and the Bills are looking for wide receivers as well.
I think, of course,
edge help as well.
I think there's a good chance Buffalo takes whoever they think the Chiefs are going to take.
I think so. I think that the game's done.
To say, hey, you know, we didn't allow them to get the guy that they really like. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Let me go through 96.5, the fans' station picks, starting with the morning show, going all the way up to Logan. Mac Morey went to no shocker, James Pierce Jr.
Yep, he's a Tennessee guy. So
yeah, he likes Dylan Samson pick, I'm sure. But anyway, Mac, of course, being a Tennessee guy, he goes Tennessee. I don't think Pierce fits to what the Chiefs like to do. I love the player though, great player.
Yeah,
don't think he fits with the Chiefs. Bob Fesco from the morning show goes with Walter Nolan. Of course, we like Walter a lot too. You had him pick Dusty. Love Dustman's pick, Luther Burden, man. That's his guy. I'm 100% for that.
I'd be cool with it too.
I'd go in that. So I love what Bob and Dusty did here. And as far as the midday show, Drew Nixon goes Walter Nolan. Of course, great pick there. Alex, another James Pierce Jr. guy. So Alex,
yeah, I heard him on the we did a feature on the social media recently about who's your dream guy, and I saw he had James Pierce Jr. there.
So. Keep in mind, all these guys will be at the draft party too. If you will sit down and talk some Tennessee football,
yeah, tell him why he's not quite a fit for the Chiefs. Yeah,
and make fun of Nico with Mac. We're talking about all the lost Kansas players that are going to the NFL draft. Right. Alex Gould be my guest. Cody is going my guy, Derek Harmon. So Cody Tapp, love this pick.
I don't think you can go wrong with that either.
Great pick there. Now let's go to the afternoon show. They go linemen. They like Rob I think Brenton Moore went who he thinks they'll get rather than kind of who he wants. And if Kelvin Banks is there, that'd be someone they'd probably really consider getting the tackle from Texas. I think he's top 15 pick, though.
Me too.
But Rob goes Kelvin Banks. CDOT goes Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle that's got the patellar tendon injury that's going to be ready about August, who missed basically from November on for the national champion Ohio State Buckeyes. Spectre goes Walter Nolan as well. Keep in mind, Vegas usually gets these picks right. Like, despite what the mockers do, look what Vegas is picking. You'll have bets, and Spec's always in tune to what Vegas is going. As I mentioned, Chris goes Nolan. I go Derek Harmon. Logan Weber, you hear him at the Knights here. He decided to go running back. He went Omarion Hampton. Don't think he's going to be there. Love the guy. They think Omarion Hampton's awesome. Matter of fact, Belichick wanted him to come back to school. Better back up that Brinks truck, which you can do now. So maybe you guys do go back, but Omarion Hampton.
Hampton wasn't about to waste a year of his prime going back and playing in college. Nah. He's trying to go pro.
Logan went Omarion Hampton in that. We'll come back 7 o'clock hour. We got Chad Ryder coming up at 7:30, but there's a lot to get to in this half hour, including Brett Veach, some of his comments that he made, plus all the scuttlebutt we're hearing about the Chiefs trading up. Will they possibly trade it for a lineman or not? We'll discuss that next.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.